Hi, class. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Chapter 5 in John's Supervision and Protection of Students. John's goes into great detail in this chapter about many things that the school district and all of us in the school district need to be very, very aware of. So, in terms of overall supervision and protection of students, we need to remember that we are in loco parentis, which is Latin for in place of a parent, when the student is entrusted to our care during the school day. And so that means that we must protect students from harm. And in addition to that, not only in acting as the parent in place of the parent, but we must protect students from abuse and harassment from other students and adults. So this is of significance in ensuring the constitutional rights of students, and particularly the fact that this matter of protection and supervision is of serious responsibility. In the schools, we must monitor students at all times. Students must always be supervised. So, as you know, bullying has been a very significant problem over time in our nation. And because of that, and because students with disabilities are in a historically marginalized group, a targeted group, we must be very, very careful to ensure that we are thinking about bullying and protecting our students with disabilities at all times, making sure that we're very intentional in our planning with students, and particularly those such as students with disabilities. And of course, we need to make sure that we are keeping track of incidents that happen within the school. So, as the director of student services, I have had the responsibility in my district to work with other administrators and special educators to and general educators, all in the school community, to make sure that we have a zero tolerance for bullying. In fact, we have school committee policies related to bullying and students' rights and protections under the law. And we must ensure that if we have any knowledge of suspected bullying, we must take that very seriously and we must do an investigation to determine whether or not it is a verified case of bullying or unverified. So, in my current district, as in every other district I've been in, we take this extremely seriously. You will also notice on district websites that there are typically online bullying reporting mechanisms. So, if you are currently in a school, it would be a really good idea to take a look at your school's website to determine where that bullying policy is and if they have an online reporting form so that parents can also inform the school if they have knowledge of bullying occurring. So we really must make sure that students feel safe and secure when coming to school. And when we're thinking about our school, each individual school, as well as the overall district, we need to make sure that we are supervising in all areas of the school, that there really are no areas that are unsupervised. And that becomes really challenging when you think about, for example, if you think about hallways and you think about nooks and crannies in a building, you need to make sure that all of those spaces and places are supervised by individuals who know what to look for when it becomes challenging on any given day. You need to make sure that we are accounting for all students in our classes, that we have mechanisms for doing building sweeps, for making sure that hallways are monitored, lavatories are monitored, that students are sent to the office, for example, with a pass or with another adult or with a peer, so that we know where students are at all times. And this is extra important in large groups of students. So think about those places and spaces that we typically see students assembling. So whether that's on the playground or, you know, in great amounts in the hallways, we find a lot of bullying and challenging behavior, as well as comments and derogatory things. Statements made to students often happen in those unstructured spaces. So whether that's gym class, the lunchroom, which is notorious, the playground, in the hallways, all of those places that are typically not necessarily monitored by teachers, but by paraeducators, by related service providers, the building administrators, those are places that the building really needs to have a plan. You as a special educator are going to have your own plan, right? In your classroom, you're going to know that there are places in your classroom you can't necessarily see students, and you need to remedy that. Students should be in your vision at all times. And you have to think about that too, if you leave them in the care of a paraeducator, because ultimately you are responsible for the supervision of that paraeducator. So there are lots of issues that have come up in my previous experiences with that. You know, if the paraeducator and you don't have a good communication system, or, you know, some communication breaks down and they're not understanding what your expectation is. I've had a situation once where a paraeducator left the classroom, left the student unattended, and the student eloped out of the building. That's a significant problem, right? And we certainly don't want those things to happen. So we always need to make sure that we're taking this responsibility very, very seriously, and that everyone who works with us also does. So always thinking about the spaces and places for students where challenges can happen, whether that be bullying or they come into some harm, like leaving the building, for example. I know of a situation where paraeducators were involved with the students, two students, for example, in this example, and they were in gym class, and somehow the students wandered out of the gym class right out the front door of the building. And then when that was investigated, the paraeducators were, maybe not as attentive, for example. And again, these are circumstances that you hear of that you certainly don't want to repeat in your own practice, and you want to make sure that you're always aware of where students are. Another major consideration is transportation and challenges in transportation. So remember, transportation being an extension of the school, we need to get students to our schools safely, and we need to return them safely. I cannot tell you how many challenges there have been with transportation over the years. And just last week, this is very timely, because just last week, my team went to the bus yard, and we were working with the individuals at the bus yard, the supervisor and some of the bus drivers, to talk about safe seating and other ways we can work together to make certain that students are safe on the bus. So often I will receive incident reports related to unexpected behavior on the bus, and we need to contact the family. We need to have a safety plan for that student. We need to make sure, again, that that space is safe and secure. It is void of bullying and any harm to a child, and that students feel safe riding to and from school. And again, that comes with a lot of planning and consideration of the team. And so Johns goes on to talk more about basic principles of laws and regulations regarding student supervision, and does discuss Section 1983 USC Title 42, Chapter 21, which really gets into the discipline, abuse of students, and lack of supervision, challenges related to that. And this is an increasing conversation and discussion, obviously, across the nation. When we think of the Office of Civil Rights, that comes into play here. When we think of, as I mentioned earlier, traditionally marginalized students, students with disability, students with multilingual learning needs, students of color, students who are male, there are many reasons why certain groups may have, you know, challenges that they are involved in. And it is up to us as school employees to make sure that our policies are sound, that we are following protocol, and that we are not leaving groups open to this type of unfortunate matter of bullying and any type of abuse related to a group that they may be a member of. So OCR is looking at the constitutional rights of students, their ability to remain safe in school. And, you know, there is due process, as we know, with IDEA when it comes to education, when it comes to a free, appropriate public education. But we also must remember that if we are negligent as school employees, we can be personally sued. If, you know, we are in violation of a student's constitutional right, we need to make sure that students are kept safe, and also consider in any way that they have equal protection under the law and due process should any type of conflict come up. And that bullying example I gave you earlier, just a matter of being part of that in my district, is something that, you know, we loop parents into that process, and parents have the right to inspect those documents that are provided with other names redacted. You know, it is a very serious offense to be a verified bully in a school. And oftentimes, you know, we must figure out supportive measures for all parties, the bully and also the victims of bullying. And part of that is sound planning. So the mnemonic in John's is about protect, right? It's about the parents, about being the school being in place of a parent while a student's at school, the heavy responsibility of the school to enforce rules and regulations to keep all students of all groups safe and secure in the schoolhouse, observing students at all times, understanding that students have challenges, whether that's related to, you know, it could be related to many things, but making sure that we're observant of and listening to our students, you know, making sure that we're not intentionally in any way putting our students in danger or harm's way, making sure that teachers at any time, anyone in the schoolhouse, anytime we have evidence that a student is being abused or unsupervised, that we take that very seriously and we remediate that challenge. As a special educator, you should be bringing that to the attention of your administrator. Remembering coverage in the schoolhouse. If you're going to be stepping out of your classroom to use the bathroom, you know, it really is important for you to have a plan for that and make sure that every student is covered and that you have significant supervision across the day. And then training, you know, making sure that all of us at the school understand what our responsibilities are and make sure that we are not in a textbook, in my favorite section, a case of unfortunate events, as I say, a series of unfortunate events. In John's, John's talks about a 9-year-old child with a history of seizures. And then, you know, this case goes on to talk about the lack of supervision or thoughtful planning around that and how, you know, the student needed to be resuscitated, I believe, because of lack of continuous supervision. We need to make sure that whatever challenges a student has, the people who need to know that information have that information. In this case, it would have been the special ed teacher consulting with the school nurse or the school nurse talking with the phys ed teacher or the swim teacher. In my district, we have med trained individuals. So if there is a student with a seizure disorder and they need someone to ride the bus with them because, you know, there's a certain med that needs to be given, our nurse trains an individual to do that. In a previous district, we would have a nurse ride the bus. So there are many different ways that you can ensure that students are safe. Again, it depends on your district. It depends on what is allowed. And also part of that is the confidentiality around, you know, a student's needs. So we need everyone to know who needs to know, but we also need to be careful with that kind of information as well. And of course, the exemplary approach in John's talks about, you know, all the things that we need to be doing, right? We need to be listening, we need to be supervising, monitoring all spaces. We need to make sure that students are not being bullied, and that field trips, for example, we're planning accessibility, we're planning and preparing the safety measures on that. We're monitoring restrooms, we're assigning students the supports they need, we're making sure bus drivers and paras and students and everyone in the schoolhouse understand you know, what their responsibilities are for supervision. One challenge that we have in contemporary schools now is the cell phone and distractions related to that. You know, and having policies that, you know, those in supervision of students need to put their cell phone away. We can't have folks distracted by things like that. And it's just of critical importance. We live in a society, unfortunately, that we have, you know, serious and significant threats that are made to public schools. And we need to always be on alert, unfortunately. But it is the way it is. And we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can as special educators, as, you know, educators across our schools to ensure the safety and security of our students so that students feel safe when they come to school.